Broadcasting from Hollywood, California, it's Grant's Rants, Hollywood Talk.
The upcoming inauguration struggles to attract Hollywood talent. Chris Brown and Soulja Boy train to beat each other up. George Lucas invests $1 billion into an L.A. Star Wars museum. And we examine Perez Hilton. That and more with Jeffrey Masters now. Let the ranting begin. I'm sitting across from Jeffrey Masters from the podcast LGBTQ&A. Hello, Jeff. How are you?
Hey, dude. I'm good.
Welcome to the rants.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
I can't believe it's your first time on the rants, but it makes sense.
I know. What the fuck?
I'm glad that you're here. And we have a lot to talk about. You guys will probably recognize Jeffrey from AfterBuzz TV. You've been there for a million years like me.
I have.
A long time.
Since my early 20s.
Yes.
Just kidding.
I think it's going to be 5 years in March, which is like weird for me because I don't feel like I don't really know. It's just been a part of my existence the whole time I've been here. So it just feels like a part of overall.
I think that's nice.
Yeah. I enjoy it. How long have you been there?
A little bit less, like four and a half-ish.
Right. I thought you've always been around.
Yeah. I didn't realize that people left until I was like, oh, I don't know anybody. It's all new people.
Yes. Well, that's it. Like, every 6 months around there, I feel like it's like, wait, I go to, like, an event, and I'm like, I literally know one person here.
Yeah.
Like, a perennial person. You know, there's always one that's always there.
I'm also just, like, in and out, too.
Yeah.
I'm like, hi, I'm doing my stuff. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Bye. Don't talk to me.
See, I finally got on to all these shows that I do. Like, I have a real schedule. I know when one's coming up and when is being replaced. And it's always with the same people. So I work with the same 8-10 people there all the time.
Oh, that's really
nice. So I don't meet new ones, though, which I wish we could, but, you know, I wish I could say, like, hey, can you sit this one out? I want to meet someone new.
Not to be, like, the jaded grandfather, but I stopped doing new shows and only do my solid ones as well because it was hit or miss with the new people, and I just don't care enough to, like, do an entire season of show with people I don't like.
Yeah.
To be completely honest.
12 weeks, 12 shows, 12 hours minimum.
I do The Flash, 23 episodes.
Oh, okay. All right.
The panel's amazing, but...
That's like the Real Housewives, like 24 episodes.
Oh, my God, yeah. The panel's great, but only because I made sure it was great.
I want to take on a new scripted show that's like a premium show, something completely different that I've never done before over there, just to make it interesting.
Yeah, you do all the Housewives shows.
Yeah, all reality TV. I did that show Blood and Oil that was on for like 2 minutes on ABC.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so that was okay, though. That show, I was okay letting that go off into the sea.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about a show that... A show in of itself, we can call it, the inauguration on the 20th of January.
Oh my God, the inauguration for what?
The President of the United States.
Oh my God, did we elect somebody yet? I drink so much. Who won?
You want me to release this news? Should I be the one to tell you?
No, don't tell me. I'm obsessed with this story. I think it's the greatest thing ever that you're talking about how nobody wants to do it, right?
Yeah, the inauguration performances, they can't give them away. I mean, a national scale, they've got a runner-up from the 2010 America's Got Talent. I mean, that's the headliner.
I know, I had to Google her, and I still Googled her and still did not know who she was.
I heard of her because I think it was probably because of America's Got Talent, which I have not watched. But I know that she does have a beautiful voice, but I wonder why she's, like, the first one to be, like, waving her hand, like, I'll do it.
I think because she's 16 and doesn't know the difference.
Oh.
Or maybe her parents are Trump supporters, or maybe they just think that this is good publicity. Because it's wild, though.
Yeah.
I'm obsessed with the stories that they're saying that the PR people, they're like, you need to book a big star. And they're like, give them anything. Give them money. And there's certain like stories that say they're trading ambassadorships.
Yeah, that's crazy.
For anybody who can book somebody.
Just for an inauguration. That is awful. I mean, it's just really sad. It's just sad.
I know.
However, Trump will always say that he's the winner in all this because Jackie's album sales have done so well since the announcement. Yeah, is it really something to brag about when everybody else, who is a superstar, doesn't want to work with you?
Also, her sales skyrocket. Let's say, her sales went up. It was Christmas. It was the holidays. Sales for everything go up.
And if she has a Christmas album, then yeah, perhaps.
But compared to last year, where they had Beyonce and Kelly Clarkson and James Taylor, God.
Well, Trump says, allegedly, he's very unhappy with the committee that's putting this together. And Marie Osmond, who I like, I don't mind her, she says that she would perform at the inauguration. She's performed at several others. She's done them, so she's like, why not? I'll do it. It's in an effort to unite the country. She says that you have to support the president, whether you're happy or sad. This is America. I like her. I think it's a classy response. I wouldn't hate her if she did it.
Okay, but has she been offered it?
Well, this is her offering it, and they haven't accepted her offer as of the time of recording this podcast.
Okay, so she's just drumming up publicity.
Yeah, I think so. She's smart, then.
Like it. It's working. We're talking about it right now.
Yep.
Oh, God. I just forget that people care about her. No offense. No offense.
I mean, I don't know any of her songs. I just think I like her as a personality.
Oh, she sings covers.
I used to watch her talk show with her brother, like, as a daytime talk show that was on for, like, 2 seasons, and that's how I was introduced to her. I don't mind her, but... I mean, yeah, she's drawing up attention for herself. No one asked her, but yet, this committee is still awaiting for a response from the Beach Boys. I mean, wouldn't you rather have her over them if she's willing?
Oh, no, I'm a huge Beach Boys fan.
Wait, are you kidding me?
Are you kidding me? The Animal Sounds album? Oh, my God, it's amazing. They're artists. They are pure artists.
I can't with anything with the Beach Boys. Even when they were on Full House as a kid. Like, those are the episodes we just took a break
from. Oh, it's so American. And we live in California. It's everything that I, like, want my life to be.
Really?
I'm so completely serious.
I have a problem with men singing in falsetto. So that's why I have a very tough, it's a rough experience to get through a song.
Do you not like Robin Thicke?
I don't care for him. I don't care for Justin Timberlake.
Okay.
It's a lot of that. I mean, like, no, not really. I mean, I don't want to hear them perform, but hey, whatever. They're still deciding, though. Apparently that band is still deciding. The band with the Beach Boys are still deciding whether or not they're going to show up next week.
The beach, like, grandpas.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh,
there's
God.
A voice
left. They're going to die before the inauguration.
Beyonce said no. Garth Brooks said no. And then Andrea Bocelli said no because he got a lot of backlash and people threatened to boycott him, which is terrible. I mean, that's his decision to make. You know, you shouldn't bully the guy into making a decision.
I don't know. I'm not mad at it.
Yeah, well, I get it. You're just not for it. Who would you want to have perform at this?
Well,
who would be appropriate?
Well, I can't name anybody that would.
It's tough.
I mean, I'm obsessed with the fact that they asked Elton John.
Yeah.
And, like, you're, like, the most anti-gay administration that we've ever had. And you go to an openly gay person? Like, what did you think he was going to say?
Yeah, a gay icon, more or less. I mean, really, it's a pretty big name in the gay community.
I think that they have to be worried to ask too big of people, too, like a Lady Gaga. Because if she did it and said, sure, I'll come perform. You know she's going to give a speech. You know she's going to change lyrics.
Some statement made. Yeah.
And you know that I'm going to be in my room, like, applauding on my bed.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, maybe that's what has to happen. I don't know. Elton John was classy about it, though. He said he doesn't want his music involved in American politics because he's not an American. He doesn't want his music tied up in any of that. So that was a good way of saying, like, no.
I'm impressed by him.
Yeah, I like that.
I just think that it has to be some, like, country star who, you know, is probably Republican.
Yeah.
Not to stereotype him from the South, though. I can do it.
Well, there you go. You can get away with it. I can't with this accent. They'll know. They'll know. But, I think it's kind of a shame. I want us to, like, be objective and say, like, good for Marie. Like, she has the right mindset. Like, we really should try to be somehow united. But it's tough for anyone, especially as an artist, to stand behind Trump at this point, whether they view him as a president or as the person that he is, and kind of co-sign that. It's tough for people. I can understand that, especially within the social world. Then there's all that talk about blacklisting in Hollywood if you support him, which I don't see that.
I agree. There's just so many other reasons to blacklist somebody.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I named them all my Twitter account. No, just kidding. That's weird. That's a little extreme to me.
Yeah, yeah. What did you think of Meryl Streep's conversation or her speech at the Golden Globes?
I thought it was completely wonderful. I thought she laid it out in such, like, concrete terms. And I like that she made it emotional, that, like, this shook me to my core.
Mm-hmm.
And I also thought it was very smart that she pinpointed the one argument that he made fun of this disabled reporter.
Which is will always be in my mind, you know, that visual. Horrible. Just terrible.
And also, she's the one person that he drags and you just laugh at.
Yeah.
I just can't understand why we're still talking about, in terms of his tweets, about, I can't believe he tweeted this. Well, why not?
I know.
Why tweet every other shit.
Yeah, why start now?
Yeah, why are we surprised and horrified?
Yeah.
Why aren't we just, like, horrified only?
Yeah. I will say, Meryl's speech and President Obama's farewell speech was, I think, what a lot of Americans, at least in our slice of the world, haven't heard in a long time. This really inclusive, smart rhetoric that really was forward-thinking and appropriate and just so well-paced and well-put-together, so well-thought-out. I was like, wow, I'm really going to miss this, because these days seem to be... I don't want to make this podcast political, but the days of that are... I mean, let's be real. Obama's out, and someone the complete opposite is coming in.
I think, to your point, is that he's a fantastic orator.
Mm-hmm.
Just, he delivers a speech. He's able to speak in concrete terms. He's able to, like, rise above the crap. Whereas Donald Trump had his report today at his news conference and just came out being like, this is some shit going on. And you're like, where's my intro? You know, where's the welcome?
Yeah, he talked about himself for the first 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Granted, he was being asked questions, but, you know, he brought it all back to the Democrats, all this stuff. And I'm like, wait a minute.
I agree.
You know, Obama had his farewell speech, which could have been about him, but he made it about the country.
I know.
So, I don't know. They're just two very different people. You can't compare them.
I know. So. I was so touched, though, by Meryl beginning and naming all the different, like, other leading and supporting actresses in the audience. I just thought that was so classy. And the fact that she, like, knew that she... I mean, I want to believe she knows them personally. You know, Amy, for Amy Adams. But to say where they grew up, something about them, it just shows that... like, we are all in this together.
Yeah.
And that she's not speaking for herself. When she did that, she opened it up and she, like, was speaking on behalf of all of Hollywood, in my mind. It was very powerful.
Very powerful. Well done. Well done, I will say. And for, of course, you know, Donald has to say she's overrated. Keep your mouth shut and get to work. You got stuff to do. He keeps talking about all the work that he has to do and all the work he's been doing. Then what the hell are you doing on Twitter? When I'm busy, my Twitter goes dark and I'm only an assistant. I'm not running the free world, so...
Yeah, not yet.
Yeah.
Mm. Anything's possible now, though. Look.
Yeah, that's true. Well, talk about anything being possible. I don't know about this, but this is another kind of a dark subject. Chris Brown and Soulja Boy are going to be entering some fight in Dubai. A horrible representation of American youth, if you will, all over an Instagram picture that Soulja Boy allegedly liked... of Karrueche Chan's. Karrueche was with Chris Brown. And so that started this ridiculous fight that now all these, Black Hollywood is getting, not all of them, but some of Black Hollywood is getting behind this. And they're training these guys to fight each other. And even Las Vegas didn't want anything to do with it, so they have to go over to Dubai. What did you make of this?
So the fight started out online?
On Instagram, yes.
And then they decided they would actually fight in real life.
Yeah.
This feels like it's a duel, right? Like, you called my wife what? Like, meet me tomorrow at midnight, bring your gun.
What could go wrong?
Yeah. You called them youth, and it's shocking to me how young they are.
Yes, 26, 27.
Yeah, oh my God. I was just thinking too about, like, when Chris Brown had all that shit go down with Rihanna, he must have been a child. I'm not saying it excuses him at all. I think he should be, like, locked up if he wasn't.
That's true, yeah.
But I just think it goes to show that this is somebody who shot to fame very quickly, and they're not mentally stable.
No, especially him.
Right. And then I remember, just like, he beat Rihanna up. We saw that. And then did he not get a tattoo of somebody with, like, a black eye and, like, a bloody lip on his neck or something?
I wouldn't be surprised.
Why would you want that on your body? But also, you know, like, the public perception.
Right.
Like, in Hollywood, there's that argument about, especially with Nate Parker and The Birth of a Nation, about separating the artist from the art. There's not a right answer. I don't know how you can do that.
Right, it's hard.
Yeah.
You have to wrap your mind around.
Exactly. But for me personally, I can never listen to Chris Brown's music the same way after beating up this female. And I'm never going to choose to do it. If it's in a club and I'm there, I'm not going to freak out.
Yeah, I'm not going to, like, walk out.
Yeah, but it also keeps me from reading any articles about him. I don't. Oh, yeah. I have no interest in this person's life.
I mean, it's trash fighting trash. I mean, really low class people. This is as low as you can go, pitting two adults against each other over an Instagram post, and then having to have training from Mike Tyson and Floyd Mayweather.
Wait, the two of them are training them?
Yeah.
This is so weird.
Well, Mike Tyson is training Chris. Great. And then the other one, Mayweather, is doing Soulja Boy. And then you've got 50 Cent promoting it. And I guess there's a bet involved and there's money behind these two boys. It's horrible. So bad that even Vegas didn't want it. It's going to be a pay-per-view.
Oh, you know what, though? I think that there are some regulations that Vegas has to uphold, like drug tests.
That's exactly.
And I don't want to stereotype, but really, but you can't pass.
Yeah. No, they, I mean, just look at them. I mean, I hate to say it, but, you know, you don't have to dig too deep. It's like looking at Lindsay's past to see that there was some alleged drug use.
I think Lindsay was always fine.
Always just straight. That's the totally straight fine. And narrow.
Yeah. Yeah, with her that accent. Yes.
Oh, I love the accent. Well, there's, you know, Trump, we mentioned, having a lot of trouble finding people to perform and sing at the inauguration. However, this fight, they already have the singer for the national anthem. They're going to have a national anthem before this epic fight in Dubai.
Is it Beyonce?
No, it's... who the hell is it? Kelly Price? Do you know her?
No.
I have no idea who that is. But, I mean... who
Kelly
knows?
Price? Clarkson?
No, I don't think she would do that. No, she's an African-American singer. I don't know who the hell she is, but...
so, good for her.
Yeah, I mean, she's definitely going to get some follows or something for this. I mean, I want this to be canceled, though. I think this should absolutely be canceled. What a horrible example to people, to kids, to people who listen to them, no matter what age they are, to have to do this. It's like... it's just so gross. I mean, I would never imagine paying for this pay-per-view. Could you imagine? That's like animalistic to me.
I just don't like the whole fighting at all.
No, me neither. Very unnecessary. But they're saying, oh, they're taking the guns out of each other's hands and they're going to fight with their fists. Oh, don't try to make a negative into a positive. It's not good.
That's like racial profiling.
Yeah, well, that's according
to... like guns. That's weird.
Well, that's a hashtag on 50 Cent's IG.
Oh, 50 Cent. What is she doing with her life?
Well, we both saw this clip of this show, this UK show, Urban Myths, that I don't think we can unsee. In fact, one article said, like, you'll never be able to unsee this image once you watch it or see this video of, who was it? Joseph Fine?
Oh, right. From the new movie.
Yeah, so I think it's episodes. I think it's like a mini-series or something like that. There's all different... there's like one that has like Hitler and it's all like these like stories.
So this is the Liz Taylor and Michael Jackson story.
This is when this story has them getting in a car, driving cross-country after 9/11... with Liz Taylor and Marlon Brando and a white Michael Jackson.
I forget. Do you know who's playing Marlon Brando?
It's slipping my mind.
But Stalker Channing is playing Liz Taylor, which is perfect. But yeah, everyone's freaking out because Joseph Fiennes is playing Michael Jackson. And Joseph Fiennes is white. However, at this point in Michael's life, he was white.
Yeah.
He had that skin issue where it makes you go white, and then he also there's rumors
did
that he bleached.
Did he though?
Combined with the bleaching.
Okay, yeah, okay, just saying. Yeah.
But
allegedly.
Okay. So listen, I do not want to put a black actor in white makeup. That being said, they put a nose prosthetic on him.
Oh, the cheapest.
It looks horrible. I've never seen such bad makeup on film before.
Yeah, never. The worst prosthetic. You can tell they went out of their way to make it look bad.
It looks like Play-Doh. Wait, do you think it was bad on purpose? You think it was bad on purpose?
I do.
Oh, well, that makes more sense.
I think the whole thing, the way I looked at it was a little tongue-in-cheek. It was a little animated.
Like over the top.
Yeah, a little over the top. So I wouldn't be surprised if they went out of their way to make it look extra bad. I mean, a little disrespectful to the dead.
Horribly so.
But, you know, I guess if you're going to get behind it as a joke, you're going to get
it. It has
consistent.
To be a joke. Because how could the directors let it go? How could the cinematographers? How could Stalker Channing say, yes, I want to act against this nose?
Yeah.
It looks like Play-Doh. It looks like it's smashed against his face.
Yeah.
Also, at this point, it has to be a joke. You're exactly right. Because at this point in his life, he had this tiny little button nose.
Yeah.
That had been, like, worked on six times.
So many.
I'm so fascinated by Michael Jackson and his, like, face transformations and, like, the what is it called? Not dysphoria, but, like, face...
Reconstruction?
No, where people are, like, unhappy with their image, with their face, and, like, the way they look. I'm just losing the word right now, but, it completely, it terrifies me. I think it's so sad. I also think that we, as a culture, were not able to, like, process and deal with this probably when he was famous, whereas now we'd be like, oh, there's clearly a mental issue.
Right. I think it would be treated so differently now.
Yeah.
It was treated, remember that Martin Bouchier interview? It was treated like a circus. And I was captivated. This was like, I was like, what, like 8? And I thought it was like amazing because it was just like, whoa, this is so out there. Like, this guy just does his own thing. And he's like so far removed from society. And he looks crazy. And
then he had that like cleft put in his chin.
Yeah.
He's just somebody who's like deeply upset mentally. And they're trying to like fix their face and what they think it should look like. I think it's so completely upsetting.
You know what's amazing with the Jacksons is that the parents are still around. I mean, they must be a million years old. How old are they? I can't believe it. They're still, and they're, you know, they're not all their kids are still there, and their kids don't look that good.
Like, I have no idea.
Some of those kids look rough. But congratulations, Janet, on your child that you finally have after a 13-month pregnancy.
Jeez.
So I'm happy for her. But, I don't know how I would watch this Urban Myths. It's a UK show. I would be curious, but I wouldn't run to the television to watch it.
I didn't know that it was just an episode thing, but that makes me feel a little bit better.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Was it September 11th?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So three of... That's an amazing premise, though. Like, the three of them in a car ride together?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to run to see this, but if you guys can check that out, all you have to do is search Joseph Fiennes or this Michael Jackson Urban Myths, and you can get the image. It's quite interesting, and a lot of people are talking about it online. A little disrespectful, just to say the least, but not surprising. Not surprising. But you know what's coming up? This is going to be big for the city of LA. A little bit of Hollywood talk in mix of all this other stuff with celebrities. This is going to be good. George Lucas is opening a museum in LA. He's investing $1 billion of his own money. This is something he's wanted to open for over 10 years. And it's going to be a Star Wars George Lucas museum with props and memorabilia and all this stuff from Star Wars. I mean, what an attraction that's going to be to people who visit.
I think it's unreal. I'm like surprisingly excited about it. Just like, I think it's been the coolest thing. Did you see the diagram too of what they proposed?
Yeah, it looks beautiful.
Oh my, it looks like a Star Wars set.
Yes, it looks unbelievable.
It looks like a spaceship that's a mirror.
So modern.
Yeah, and I love that it's going to be in the Exposition Park, which is near LACMA, and like the tar pits. It's just going to be like this like hub for culture.
I thought it was downtown. I thought it was going to be near like the Science Museum and the Natural History Museum.
Oh, no, you're exactly right.
I know they're really trying to make downtown LA a thing. And they've been investing a lot, and people are flocking there to live in those lofts and all that. For me, I don't go down there for anything. I've never been to that science museum. They had that Discovery thing.
Oh, I have. It's a magical.
Yeah.
They've the Endeavor spaceship.
That's what it is. Yeah.
Right now, it's on the ground, but they're going to position up so it's standing up in a new museum. I'm so excited for it.
Wow.
This is going to be such a cool area. That area. Can you imagine having $1 billion to invest?
Oh, never. I mean, unbelievable.
Like, of course.
I can't wrap my mind around that. Just being like, yeah, I want to do this. It's time we write a check for $1 billion.
Right. And he's like, and we have some Norman Rockwell paintings we'll put in there too.
Yeah.
But for the city, just to be like, you want to build this and you have the $1 billion to do it? Like, absolutely.
Yeah, why the hell not?
Well, SF in Chicago didn't want it.
Isn't that terrible? I don't understand. That's such a draw.
I'm surprised that, like, they listen to people.
Yeah.
I was like, absolutely give it to us.
Why not? It makes no sense. You'd think people would be in a bidding war over this.
I know.
It's going to be interesting, especially if there's really stuff from the early movies. Like, I love looking at all that stuff.
They said the first Darth Vader helmet will be in it.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
That was the first one was, in that first movie was a little different. You know, it was like it was more plain. Like, it sticks out to me.
Yeah.
It wasn't the same. It progressed a little bit. It got a little more like high tech.
Totally.
Later on. So I know which one you're talking about. Yeah, I'm curious to check it out.
Yeah, like something like Star Wars is like, you don't have to be a fan of it to know that it's a massive, just like, cultural milestone. Right. It changed movies and it changed people's lives. And like, I'm so happy that we can like celebrate that.
Yeah. It's going to be great. It's going to be huge. Like you mentioned, the building is going to be 275,000 square feet.
Wow.
Yeah. And there's going to be other art museums in there as well. It's going to be like a big cultural hub for art.
They said 10,000 pieces of art will be in it.
Wow.
I think that includes like sketches and costumes and stuff. That's a lot of stuff.
That is. That's a lot of square feet for that.
Oh my God.
I'm excited. Especially I feel like LA gets a rap for not really being having a lot of culture here compared to an older city like New York or even in Europe. But if you think about it, what they've really been doing with these museums, with this museum in particular, and LACMA, and then the Getty.
The Broad.
Yeah, the Broad. To come here, and the MoMA. And all this, I mean, if you're an art fan, there's really a lot to see. Now, this is really going to be extra, with even having this Norman Rockwell tie-in. Who would have just throw that in there, too?
Yeah. And I think it's like you can spend like a full day down there. Which I always say, like, LA is a hard city to visit. So it's just like, just go to these museums.
Yeah, that's great. I'm happy for the city. That's a real get.
Yeah, and then while you're down there, go to Perch. You can sit on top of a building, have a drink, have a cocktail.
I went there once. They had a really nice, like, vintage floor on the roof.
Yeah,
I like absolutely. That. Yeah, I like that. Very, like, old LA. That's the thing about downtown LA for me. The thought of going down there is, like, not happening. But when I'm there, I actually really do enjoy it. I just dread going.
I agree.
I don't know. I don't have any interest. I'm not motivated to go down there for anything because I know I'm going to be paying at least $10 to park. I'm going to have to walk by myself, you know, at night. And I'm like, yeah. But when I'm there, I do enjoy myself because it's something different. I feel like I went somewhere.
Oh my God. It does not feel like LA.
No.
Yeah.
And I love a city feel.
I agree. I miss it.
Yeah.
That's like something I want to travel to like experience and have a great time in, but I do not want to like live in. So I feel very fortunate that not all of LA is like that.
Right. Yeah. I wouldn't want to live down there for anything.
If I work down there.
Yeah. That's true. See, I'm never in South LA. I'm never in downtown. So I would have no reason to be there.
Same.
Yeah.
I also wouldn't leave though if I worked and lived down there. I'd be like, oh, you're going to leave downtown? Jeez.
Yeah. Forget it. I'm not going up the 101. Hell no. Yeah. We'll be back in a moment to talk about Jeff's trip to Perez Hilton's house.
Yeah.
That'll be an interesting story. You won't want to miss it.
You're listening to Grant's Rants. Please rate, subscribe, and share. Spread the word. There are a lot more rants to come. Listen anytime on all major podcasting platforms and YouTube for bonus content. And now, back to the show.
And we're back talking with Jeffrey Masters. And I want to hear about this trip that you took to Perez Hilton's house for an interview for the LGBT Q&A podcast.
Oh, I really can't talk about it.
Oh, well, then you can leave. Then you leave.
Yeah, so LGBT Q&A, I interview different interesting and influential members of the LGBTQ community.
Mm-hmm. Very well-rounded, too, with who you have on there.
I really appreciate that. It's
very well rounded.
It's been a very challenging to keep it like that, so I appreciate that.
Yeah. Oh, I know how it is to try to like think. Well, maybe this time I'll have this type of person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I can't have like too many like white gay guys in a row because then it becomes that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I really appreciate that. That's obvious. Yeah. Thank you. So for Perez, I booked him, which was fun, and they were like, you know, he's too busy to come to your studio. Do you want to come to our house? And I was like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, great, how about Wednesday? And I was like, why is this so easy?
Yeah.
So we confirmed it, and they were like, you can park in the driveway. Here's the address. Take the side door near the garage, and here's his mom's cell phone number.
What? Weird.
Yeah, and I was like, okay. And I just didn't know why they were treating it, like, so normally.
Yeah.
And
so casual. Just
yeah.
Like, just like, oh, show up, call his mom, he'll be good.
Yeah, totally fine. Yeah, what are you going to talk about? Whatever. And I don't know if it's because I knew somebody who worked there that put in a good word for me, and that's why I was able to interview him or not. But super cash. I ring the doorbell. His mom is like, oh, my God, so nice to meet you. Great. We chatted. She's lovely.
Hmm.
They set me up. And then Perez comes in. And I did not know what to expect. This is somebody that I've been reading since college. And in college was before he had the big transformation to doing more positive spinning content, not horrible nicknames. And so in college, though, he was had pink hair and he would draw penises on people's faces. And he would say Jennifer Aniston. And now he's 38 or 9. He's a father of two. He's a successful businessman and he's reformed from being nasty, although he still has a very strong personality.
Right.
And so that people think he still is nasty, but I really don't think he is. He, and I have to tell you, in person, he's super normal. He answered all my questions. He answered them like honestly and really put thought into them, which I really appreciate.
Right.
And he just was interested in having like a normal, like, conversation.
Yeah, you know, I listened to the show and there were some moments of pause because you could see that he really was internalizing your question and really trying to think of the best answer. Like, he did take it very seriously, I will say.
Yeah, and I really appreciated that because as we kind of talked about in the interview, he has this public personality and it's Perez and he wears bright flashy colors and he makes statements about people that, like, it's kind of that make you cringe or not, but that's the character and, and it's a part of him, but it's not all of him. And so I think that I saw like the real side of him per se. And I think he's very smart. We talked about it in the interview, but I think that this is like literally the American dream where he's this one little kid blogger in a coffee shop and he built an empire. And I think more people would recognize that as a massive success story if he didn't occasionally say things about celebrities that was a little bit aired nasty.
Right, right. Yeah.
And
that's tough. But yeah, the brand of Perez is the, kind of the it's his bread and butter and his problem.
Yeah. And I still think that him having a strong personality is what draws in his entire fan base and it also turns people off. But isn't that like the genius of branding?
A little bit. I mean, why not? It's a new frontier, like you talked about in that show with what he initiated.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it worked for him.
It did. And you need to, like, separate yourself when you're creating your business because there are so many celebrity blogs. So I personally would not take, like, the cruel perspective, but I see why it was necessary in his mind. And I also see why he was able to do it because this wasn't him, Mario. Mario's a real person writing this and having face-to-face interactions. It was this character. So I think that character, like, in that mask allows him to, allowed past tense him to do
right,
that.
Yeah. You know, my perception of Perez was always, especially recently, was a little thirsty and, like, he was a little, still very hungry to be a celebrity. And this is from my perspective only. And my sister listens to his podcast quite a bit, and she was telling me over the winter break that he has this thing that he brags about where he goes on Instagram and just likes and comments all celebrities all day long to try to get more followers because he's, like, very transfixed on celebrities following him and getting more follows. And I was like, really? Like, at this point, he's still worried about that? But after listening to your show, he had a, and I won't spoil it for those of you because I want you to listen to the show, but he does have a definite concern about financials for the future. So he's really always, I guess that's his way of not only staying relevant, but continuing to plan for the future and trying to keep that brand going in the new age of IG.
Yeah, he needs to expand his brand. Because, as he said, he likes money, but he also likes money because he now is supporting two children, his mom and his sister. And so that's a lot of people that that need to, like, have money.
Yeah, that's a lot of pressure, yeah. But I just can't imagine that he would be that not well off, but just, like, I imagine that he must live a very comfortable lifestyle.
I think he does.
What was his house like?
The biggest one on the block. But, I mean, in L.A., it was, you never know what that means, you know?
That's true, yeah.
I don't know. I just think that he, as a businessman, I think really his practices and what he does is actually fairly genius. Like, the fact that if you look at his website today, it still looks like everything's written by him. There's not a single byline. It's called PerezHilton.com. It's still set up like a really old school blog. You just scroll down. I think it's really, really smart. There's a big staff. That's not true. I would estimate 20, let's say, staff members working on this thing. And for it to all be in his voice and to look like it was written by him, that's very, that's a choice. Yeah. And it's very smart. Mm-hmm. I used to work at Pop Sugar, and Lisa Sugar started that. And she started writing every blog, and then she expanded. And now it's this multi-media company focused on women's lifestyle. I think it's the number one like women's lifestyle website right now. And it's written by millions of people. That's not true. Sorry. And it's written by hundreds of writers, and they all have their own names. They every with this. Yeah. It they took that plan. It's working for them.
Right.
Pop Sugar is still the name, but like you can not connect that to Lisa Sugar at all. Whereas Perez Hilton, it's Perez Hilton. Mm-hmm. And to keep it so like focused on him was this really, in his instance, a really, really smart choice.
Yeah. I was really shocked to learn that he is not connected to a conglomerate or any overhead.
Nothing at all.
It's just him, his company, and that's it.
I think that because he started out with really cruel content, that he still leaves a bad, the website, leaves a bad taste in people's mouth. Mm-hmm. And so they just don't even want to like deal with it.
Yeah.
I think that if a company bought it, they would need to, like, I think that Perez is really interested in repairing his image still.
Yeah. Oh, I would say so. Yeah.
I think that most of America still assumes that he's this like nasty kid with pink hair. Mm-hmm. He's like drawing penises, whereas the proof is on his website that he's he does not do that.
Yeah. I was just turned off by him in general, by just being kind of thirsty, and I just didn't care to view his content anymore. He kind of expired with me.
I think
that's probably what maybe I represent a lot of people in that sense of the word. I don't know.
I think he like really exemplifies the saying about like, I'd rather have one person who like loves me than like 1,000 people who like kind of maybe care about me.
Yeah.
Whatever the full saying is.
Right.
I feel like I'm only praising him, but I really, really, really want to come across like he, like, the thing, like, he has his fans, and they're diehards, and they know exactly what they're getting with them. Whereas, let's say, Pop Sugar, again, written by many people, there's some things on there that I really connect with, and there's some things on there where I'm like, oh, Jesus, Lord.
Like, well, that's like, yeah, that's like the BuzzFeed, too. Some things are like, this quiz speaks to me, or like, this top 20 is like amazing, and then it's like, I don't know what the hell this is.
Yeah, I also have to think that we in Hollywood have a different perspective of PerezHilton.com compared to Middle America.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there is still this, like,
you know what, you're absolutely right.
View of it.
I used to, like, really be into all those blogs and reading up on things until I came out here and I realized that I was less captivated by the lifestyle that these people lived. I just, and it wasn't the same.
And I think that's when you go to a party or 5 parties and you see a celebrity there and you see that they like have to wait in line at the bar and that they drink and that they have fun and they have normal conversations, you like are less fixated because you're like, oh, they're not this fantasy that like glides.
Exactly. Like if the shine is just kind of, they're just an average person. That's why people, like, whenever I go home, do you see celebrities? Yeah. And I see them like wait in line and get out of their car and walk around like, There they are, and there they go.
Isn't it so funny? Yeah, I I'm obsessed with M Cafe. Do you remember that? It's on Melrose. It's macrobiotics, which it's like really organic vegetables and like some fish.
That's why I don't know what it is. It's too healthy for me.
It's very healthy.
Organic.
Yeah. Oh, so I was there like 2 years ago talking. There's a deli case. Talking to someone at the deli case. And we like made small talk and a joke, maybe about like tempeh or something. Mm-hmm. And then I walked away and the person was like, do you know Kristen Bell? And I was like, no. Like, oh, why are you just talking to her? And I was like, what? And I look and it's Kristen Bell pregnant and she's talking to Dax Shepard.
Oh, no.
I did not even notice.
You didn't even know?
Right. So flash forward to Thanksgiving that year. I'm back home in North Carolina. And of course, somebody's like, oh, do you know or ever see celebrities? And I was like, oh, actually, this funny thing happened with Kristen Bell. And I told that story and they thought it was like the most magical thing ever. And then they like told somebody else from high school and they're like, oh, my God, like Jeff, like talk to Kristen Bell. And I was like, well, like, yeah, but like that's not something that like I would even like isn't a memorable experience. And yet I'm telling it now. But you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's nothing to write a Facebook status about.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Where I feel
exactly.
Like, you know what I mean? With someone, if they ran into them in, like, Louisiana,
right,
they'd be, like, asking for photos, like, doing an Instagram live. Like, yeah.
Yeah, when Carrie Fisher died, I remembered that four-ish years ago, I worked at West Elm, and she came in and I helped her pick out, like, throw pillows for her couch, and it was the most normal exchange ever. I didn't mention Star Wars. She didn't mention whatever. It was just like a lovely customer service interaction.
Yeah.
And I remember that when she died. And I told that to a friend. And they're like, why didn't you ever tell me that? It's Carrie Fisher. And I was like, I don't know.
Yeah.
It wasn't anything that, like, she didn't whip out a wand and, like, wave it around and say, like, you're going to do good, kid. It was just like a really lovely, pleasant experience.
Right.
And these things don't mark me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I like that. No, it's good because... Oh, so many people are so obnoxious having to post pictures of with everything. I mean, it's like this lifestyle of all these posting of pictures of people showing up to, like, literally, like, drop something off at, like, an office or at a party, and then having to post four pictures to make it look like they were, like, on the carpet is ridiculous.
And half those parties are not fun.
No, they're very boring, but,
yeah.
I mean, they're neat to say that you were there, but, that, you know,
yeah.
It is what it is.
Yeah, something interesting that's happening on the podcast is that I'm getting some really amazing guests, like people that I've either watched on TV for years, like Peter Page from Queer as Folk, or I'm a big reader, so I interviewed authors whenever I can, and I had this one woman, Michelle T, on, and she's kind of like the pinnacle of queer San Francisco culture.
Mm-hmm.
She just moved here, but whatever. And I've read her books for years, and I was so excited to talk to her, and she was everything I wanted. It was a lovely, amazing conversation, and because of the podcast, we get to do that. I'm so grateful, but after that, I was a little bit less obsessed with her because I realized that she's a real person, and it's weird to obsess over real people.
I get it. It just brought her down to earth to you.
Yeah.
You know, I get that.
And
that's
you don't
want to
stalk real people.
Yeah.
Like on Instagram, I had to unfollow her just because I was
looking. Really? You had to unfollow?
Wow. Yeah, I was looking at pictures of her and her partner and their kid, and it was cute, but I just felt like I was spying on a real person as opposed to, like, looking up at this, like, author that I really respect.
I get that.
And I'm okay with that. I don't feel like I lost something.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad to hear the podcast is doing so well. What inspired you to do this? How did you get this off the ground? What was that process like?
It was so much harder than I thought.
Yeah.
I just want... Like, do you listen to Fresh Air with Terry Gross?
No, I don't.
Okay, it's like the pinnacle interview podcast. It's on public radio. Yeah.
Okay.
She's just like the Beyonce of the radio world on NPR. And I listen to it in podcast form. But she has queer people on every once in a while. And I just wanted a way to... I wanted this podcast to listen to. And no one had done it. But also, when it's a straight person asking queer people questions... It's a lot of coming out stories, and that's not often our most interesting parts of our lives.
Yeah.
And if it's a trans person, it's all about how they knew they were trans and, like, what surgeries they've had. And that's, like, let's get beyond that.
Right. You dig deeper than that.
Yeah, I try to. Not every trans person wants to have surgeries or is on hormones or anything. And I wanted to tell more stories so people could see that.
Right. Like, with the Perez episode, you talked so much business. He mentioned at the beginning, you know, he's a single dad, but it wasn't all about, like, how do you, you know, as a homosexual man with two kids, like, what is that like with going and bring them to school? Like, who cares?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was all about the business and about him, and I thought it was great.
I really appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah.
So it's just, like, the podcast that I wished kind of existed.
Yeah.
And then the other side of it is that there's so many firsts in the LGBTQ community today. The first gay person to this, and the first trans person to that, and they're all alive today, and that's kind of an amazing time to be in our history. So I wanted to document those stories and those people while they're still alive.
Yeah,
I would love to talk to, like, a Larry Kramer before he dies. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. So outside of the podcast, what are your goals out here in LA? What's the end all?
I do these other hosting jobs, and I'm an actor as well, and do those when it comes up. I would love to make more money. I would love to see both of those things continue in tandem. Usually, like, year by year, like, hosting will catch fire this year, or let's say last year. So I'm pushing acting a little bit more this year, and I just want to do that continually.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's so much fun. I love having these conversations with people I look up to. And they're always surprising. Mm-hmm. And they always, like, challenge me as well. And so I think I find that so fun.
Yeah.
A lot of hosts our age mm-hmm. are 16. If you're just listening, I'm 16. A lot of hosts our age are doing red carpets and asking, like, two questions.
Right.
And it's, how is working in the film? And, like, what are you looking forward to later?
Right.
And that does not... I don't get off on that. So I've been, like, studying long-form interviews and... doing that, and I really like that. So I'd love to continue that in some manner.
Mm-hmm.
Although the format, it's for long-form interviews, it's primarily audio. So I'm really experimenting with going a more radio route, actually. Just because mm-hmm. there's not a market for long-form interviews on camera.
Right. I've always been very interested in radio, especially with all the satellite radio and NPR and all of that. I wish there was more there. Unfortunately, it's a lot of people have been there for very long times.
I think that that's growing. You know, NPR is investing so much money in their podcasts,
that's true.
Which don't ever air.
Right.
And well, some segments do, but on the whole, I think that's really giving a lot of new voices airtime. And I think that. You know, podcasts is a really hard market to monetize, and people are tackling that in different ways.
Yeah.
But I think that I would like to see more people getting on the podcast train. I think only about, like, less than 20% of the population listens to them. That's a whole market that we could... 80% is massive.
Yeah.
Get them on board. They just need to know what it is. There are just so many steps to it.
That's so true. You know, in our world, we don't know anyone that doesn't know what a podcast is.
Right.
I mean, we do that. This is my third show this week. But when I go home or go to other places, they have no idea how to find them, what they are, what they're about. Like, it's for anyone who has an interest in anything, there's a show for you. There's more than one to choose from. If you don't like a host on one, then there's another after show or another show about crafting.
Yeah.
It's such a big world. And yeah, I wish that there was some way that we could... make it more mainstream. It's so weird because to me, it's the middle of my world.
I completely agree.
And I just don't understand it.
I actually can't remember what my life was like without going on a walk and listening to a podcast.
Yeah.
I listen to them at the gym now when I'm working out.
Yeah.
Like, that's my pump-up music. Yeah. It's like This American Life.
I use them to replace certain people that I don't see. When I get lonely, I have my go-to podcast that I listen to, and I feel like they're friends, and it's amazing to listen to, and I get sad when they end, and it's like, Grant, this was recorded, like, 4 days ago in someone's basement. Like, why you said that it's over? They'll have another one tomorrow.
That's
really
nice.
But I really, really enjoy them so much. To not have one, I mean, to not listen to one would just be, like, weird to me. But I'm grateful to all of you for listening to this show. Again, I always say, like, the show, I'm really excited that, you know, I get more responses than ever from people all over the world now listening to this. And it's so humbling. And it's so nice.
That's really nice.
So I really appreciate that. Yeah, so much so. So we're having so much podcast love here on this episode of Grant's Rants. I love it. So tell me a little bit about living out here, and, like, God knows with me, I've had one struggle after the next. What is
Have you?
Yeah. What's the hustle been like? Yeah, it's been highs and lows, to say the very least.
The hustle has been interesting. Because from my side, I came out here to do acting primarily, and then did some hosting just because it was, like, fun and I could, like, say what I want to say, which I like doing. And then I found that I really enjoy, like, certain aspects of hosting, like the interviewing, as opposed to reading a teleprompter, is not so fun.
True.
But that being said, with each of those things, in LA, you spend more time trying to get a job than doing the actual job.
Oh, yeah.
So I came out here being like, I'm going to be an actor. And I realized that 90% of my time was spent auditioning or trying to get an audition or do that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then once I got on set, I was like, oh, we shot for 4 hours and, like, you're done with me? I haven't cried yet. Do you want to see something?
It's the same behind the camera, too. To get a decent desk job, assistant gig, behind the scenes, anything. For me, the hustle that I put in of just trying to get these jobs versus actually doing them is, like, an incredible ratio.
Yeah. Every year gets better. Every year I get more solid on what I want to do specifically.
Mm.
It's also really funny comparing hosting to acting because in hosting, I'm positioning myself in one specific route because I don't feel like, because I think you need to pigeonhole yourself to get seen and then you expand, because anybody can do like entertainment news and they can find 1,000 people. But for me, who, let's say, like specializes in the LGBTQ community, or I also interview authors, like specializes in books, there's going to be something that they only need this person with, especially, also like you can expand entertainment news from any of those things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we might interview authors, we talk about politics, we talk about everything. So that's not something to worry for me, pigeonholing yourself there and just like sharpening those skills, because I am young and most of the jobs are for people a little bit older than me.
True.
So comparing that narrowness to acting, whereas you can position yourself as the perfect like person for, let's say, like the funny best friend or something, but you really cannot pick what kind of acting you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
If someone says like, do you want to do a sitcom? Do you want to do like a feature film? I get whatever thing I can cast it.
Yeah.
Works. People only at the top level get to choose like what kind of stuff they want to do.
Yeah.
And it's just, I think the longer you're here, literally in Hollywood, meeting people, talking to people, seeing how it works, you see it in working in the industry, both in front of and behind the camera, you see how it works, how Hollywood works. So when my grandma calls and says, hey, I'm watching The Big Bang Theory, I think you should do it. And I say, okay, grandma, thank you. I don't say, well, let me sit you down and like give you 4 hours of like history.
Right.
So I don't know. Everything has like been like led to one another, though.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Everything that I have done has kind of latched on to the past and to the future. Nothing has been lost.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is very interesting, because somehow when you're in the middle of this, like, this time last year I was in the middle of a mess, and I look around and I'm like, none of this makes sense. Like, what is going on? But where I am today, everything fits together like a piece, like a Lego piece. It's so weird.
Yeah.
It's so weird. You know, that's the past for you.
Yeah. And maybe I've not had enough massive successes yet, but my like life here has only had an upward trajectory, you know?
You're very lucky.
It's all built up from there.
Yeah.
Or maybe not an optimist.
Yes. Maybe perhaps. What would you say is your biggest win so far out here?
Oh, I don't know if it was a win, but going to go to ComCon last year for 4 days and interview people there, and because I have some like friends who work for massive outlets, I was going to all the coolest parties. So like doing that during the day, like I interviewed Christian Slater and the entire cast of Mr. Robot and TV shows I love, and then going to like the parties at night. And not just parties, but the best parties. That felt really cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you're immersed in everything you love. I mean, what's not to like?
And it was 4 days in a row. Mm-hmm. And it was exhausting. But that's the kind of like stuff I love. So I like to be exhausted. So like I'll work on my podcast and I'll try to book somebody. Then I'll like work on the interview. And then I've been taking this online course for interviewing as well. And other jobs, and then an audition, I have to film this, and I want to pick up the gear for that. I have the capacity while I'm young to like work very long hours, so I don't want to turn 40 and be like, I wonder if I could have made it. I want to turn 40 and be like, oh, I made it, or, you know, I worked my butt off and it just didn't happen.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe that's me being like optimist and naive, but I've been here long enough, so like, I think that so far, like, I'm still in it.
Yeah, I can relate to that. Thanks. I know the feeling.
Yeah,
I know. You gotta keep moving and you gotta maximize your time now.
I know.
Work hard now. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And I think that like people find like ambition to be like a nasty word, but I just think that not a lot of people can like back up ambition with like hard work and or the right kind of work.
Right. Absolutely. I agree with that. Yeah.
Like for example, I kicked off my podcast. I wanted like 3 really big guests, and the first 2 were big-ish, and then I booked Ross Matthews from like Hello Ross, and he now does those stuff. Only because he shoots at the studio every like Monday at like 3. So I made sure I was there every Monday at 2 and just saw him in the hallway and had small chat talk, and we chatted, and I saw how his weekend was, and I brought up Palm Springs because he loves Palm Springs. And then after 2 months, I was like, hey, I'm doing this podcast. And he was like, I would love to do it.
There you go.
It's like shit like that.
Yeah, you gotta be a hustler. You gotta be a hustler, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can relate to that. I've had to position myself a few times to get it, to be seen by a few people like yeah. that too. And I don't regret it. And you know what? Those are the smart people that are doing that. You don't wait for them to come to you. Forget it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And we're nice enough people that's never going to be like sleazy.
No. Yeah. No, we have that respect. Where there are some other people, you wonder how they get to where they are because they don't have respect or boundaries for certain people. That drives me crazy. I don't know how people get away with it.
Yeah, I agree.
Where can we keep up with you online? And anything else you want to promote? You know, you can listen to Jeffrey anytime on the LGBTQ&A podcast.
Yeah.
And that's on all major podcasting platforms and YouTube.
Yeah, and I think love it so much. Tell their friends. Leave a comment on iTunes. And then I tweet from JeffMasters1. And yeah, I'd love to connect.
Sounds good. Well, thank you for coming in and ranting with us.
Yeah, this was so much fun. Right. I hope I was ranty enough.
Oh, I think you were. I think you were. I think we're good. Don't worry. All right. Well, thank you, everyone, for listening. Next episode, I have an announcement that I'll be making about what's coming up on the podcast. So you're going to want to check that out. That'll do it for us. The ranting will continue.
This has been Grant's Rants. Follow us on Twitter at Grant's_Rants. Cover art created by Howie Rone. Voiceover by Blake V. Media. Original theme music composed by Alexander Arntzen.